Back to order. The time is 12:50 p.m. Central Time. And at this time, Ms. Jacobson, are you continuing with Kevin Soley?
Yes, Your Honor, we are.
All right. Mr. Soley, you're still under oath. All right. Please proceed, Ms. Jacobson.
Thank you. Mr. Soley, what have been your responsibilities in connection with the routing of the transmission facilities associated with the Williston to Tioga project?
After the proposed corridor was identified, I was responsible for coordination of the environmental aspects of the final route selection.
Would you please describe for us the methodology Basin Electric used in the selection of the proposed line route?
The methodology used to select the final route was a refinement of the same methodology utilized to identify the proposed corridor. Following the identification of the proposed corridor, additional analyses were conducted to determine a suitable line route within the proposed corridor. The final line route was chosen with respect to the same 12 objectives identified in my testimony on corridor selection methodology. Several potential line routes were plotted on the corridor map. The route selection activities included a further literature review on the proposed corridor to obtain additional information. Contacts were also made with various public agencies, public officials, and the general public through the Western EA scoping process. In addition, individual landowners were contacted by Basin Electric in order to determine if any future development plans would be affected by construction of this transmission line. Field and aerial surveys of potential line routes were also conducted. After compiling the information gathered through literature review, field activities, and public input, further refinements of the proposed line route were completed and a final line route was established. This final line route was selected by a consensus of Basin Electric environmental, engineering, and right-of-way staff.
Mr. Soley, could you please describe the role of the Public Service Commission's designated exclusion areas and avoidance areas in the route selection process?
Yes, the Public Service Commission rules at NDAC Chapter 690608 provide that exclusion areas must be excluded from consideration of a route for a transmission facility. The rules further provide that avoidance areas shall not be considered in routing of the transmission facility unless the applicant shows that under the circumstances there is no reasonable alternative. The rules also provide that a buffer zone of reasonable width to protect the integrity of the area shall be included unless a distance is specified in the criteria.
Would you please generally describe for us the route being proposed by Basin Electric?
Starting at the Williston substation, the route proceeds generally to the north, staying west of the Williston Airport and crossing an area of abandoned underground lignite mines. Geotechnical borings will need to be completed at structure locations to ensure adequacy of foundation conditions. A burrowing owl nest location was also noted in this area during the biological surveys conducted for the line. This nest would be avoided by transmission structures, and no construction would occur near the nest during the breeding or nesting season. About 6 miles north of the Williston substation, the route stair steps to the northeast, generally following section lines or property lines, crossing U.S. Highway 2 and the Little Muddy River Valley. The line then follows the section line north, just under 4 miles, where it proceeds to the east, following the route of U.S. Highway 2 for about 13 and a half miles. The line jogs a half mile to the south to set up the portion of the route that traverses to the immediate south and east sides of Ray. East of Ray, the route lies 1/2 mile to the north of U.S. 2, following the quarter line for approximately 9 miles. The line then drops south, again following U.S. Highway 2 for approximately 4 miles. At this point, the route proceeds generally to the north, taking advantage of routing on non-cultivated land, crossing the Montreal County line, and terminating at the existing MDU Tioga substation.
Mr. Soley, I'm going to ask you a series of questions related to the PSC Transmission Facility Route Criteria Exclusion Areas. Does the proposed route cross any designated or registered national parks, memorial parks, historic sites and landmarks, national landmarks, monuments, or wilderness areas?
No.
Does the proposed route cross any designated or registered state parks, historic sites, monuments, historical markers, archaeological sites, or nature preserves?
No.
Does the proposed route cross any county parks and recreational areas, municipal parks, or parks owned or administered by other governmental subdivisions?
No.
Does the proposed route cross areas which are critical to the life stages of a threatened or endangered animal or plant species?
No.
Does the proposed route cross areas where animal or plant species that are unique or rare to this state would be irreversibly damaged?
No.
Mr. Soley, I'm now going to ask you a series of questions related to the PSC transmission facility route criteria avoidance areas. Does the proposed route cross any designated or registered national historic districts, wildlife areas, wild, scenic, or recreational rivers, wildlife refuges, and grasslands?
No.
Does the proposed route cross any designated or registered state, wild, scenic, or recreational rivers, game refuges, game management areas, forests, forest management lands, or grasslands?
No.
Does the proposed route cross any areas of historical, archaeological, or paleontological significance not designated as exclusion or avoidance areas?
Once the proposed route was established, a Class 3 Cultural Resources Survey, or pedestrian survey, was conducted along the proposed route. The survey area consisted of a 200-foot-wide corridor centered on the proposed route centerline. The entire proposed route was inventoried for cultural resources. While numerous prehistoric and historic sites were identified during the Class 3 surveys, all would be avoided by spanning the site if possible or by adjusting the route around the site. It is unlikely paleontological resources would be affected by the project, since there is little or no bedrock exposed along the route. No paleontological resources have been identified along the transmission line route.
Are there any geologically unstable areas which are crossed by the proposed route?
Areas underlain by abandoned underground lignite mines may present stability issues. However, as mentioned earlier, detailed geotechnical work would be completed in the area to ensure adequate foundation conditions are present to support the structures.
Will the proposed route pass within 500 feet of a farmhouse, rural residence, or place of business?
Well, I guess the question that Ms. Bendish had earlier, I guess there's the, you know, I guess we, our criteria was occupied rural residences, so the answer would be no, but without the definition of a residence, I guess the answer would be yes.
Will the proposed route cross any reservoirs, municipal water supplies, or water sources for organized rural water districts?
No.
Will the proposed route cross any land under irrigation?
No.
Will the proposed route cross any areas of recreational significance which are not designated as exclusion areas?
No.
Mr. Soley, I will now ask you a series of questions related to the PSC transmission facility selection criteria. What impact will the construction and operation of the transmission facilities have on agriculture production and family farms and ranches?
In selecting the final line route, Basin Electric attempted to select a route that would minimize impact to agricultural production. Where possible, the route crosses grassland and pasture land. When crossing agricultural land, the use of unguided, self-supporting structures placed along section lines and the edges of fields or property lines helps reduce the impact to farming operations. Construction activities will likely result in short-term effects on land and crops, depending on the season or seasons that construction occurs. Some crops may be damaged and soil compaction may occur along the right-of-way. These effects, however, are usually short-term, and the land returns to its former use after the next season's plowing and seeding. Landowners would be compensated for crop losses and for field damage resulting from construction. Similarly, construction of the transmission line will also have some effect on rangeland and grassland. However, existing vegetation within the construction right-of-way would be preserved whenever feasible. In addition, surface disturbance areas would be reclaimed using native species to reestablish vegetation, reduce erosion, and minimize the potential of invasion by noxious weeds.
What impact will construction and operation of the proposed transmission facilities have on land which an owner can demonstrate that soil, topography, drainage, and available water supply that makes the land economically suitable for irrigation?
The route does not cross any currently irrigated land.
What impact will construction and operation of the proposed facilities have on surface drainage and flow patterns?
No impacts are expected.
What impact will construction and operation of the proposed transmission facility have on noise-sensitive areas?
Sensitive noise receptors within the area include rural residents living in scattered locations on farmsteads and those living in developed areas. However, these areas were avoided to the extent practicable during the detailed routing process. Temporary noise impacts would result from construction activities, most likely consisting of the sounds of equipment backup warning devices and diesel engine operation. Temporary construction noise would be limited to no more than a few days at any particular location along the proposed line and would be mitigated by scheduling work to daylight hours, particularly when near sensitive receptors.
What impact will the construction and operation of the proposed transmission facility have visually on areas surrounding the proposed route?
Because of the relatively flat terrain along the route, the transmission structures would be visible in the general area of the line route. However, Basin Electric has opted for galvanized steel, single-pole transmission structures. Light-colored structures tend to become less visible with distance as they fade in with the horizon. In any case, visual impacts are expected to be minimal.
What impacts will the proposed transmission facility have on extractive and storage resources?
Oil and gas exploration and production are not expected to be affected by the proposed project. There are many small gravel pits located throughout the corridor. These sites were avoided to the extent reasonably possible through detailed line routing.
What impacts will the proposed transmission line have on woodlands and wooded areas?
Some small patches of shrubs and occasional small trees occur in the corridor and along the line route. A small number of trees and shrubs will need to be removed to allow for construction and safe operation of the transmission line. As a mitigation measure, Basin Electric will replant 2 trees or shrubs for every tree or shrub removed during the construction of the transmission line.
What impacts will the proposed transmission line have on wetlands?
No permanent impacts to wetlands are anticipated as a result of project construction. Structures would not be placed in wetland areas. Basin Electric will provide a 100-foot buffer zone around wetlands, whenever feasible, to prevent impacts. Wetland areas along the line route would be avoided or spanned. Additionally, Basin Electric will implement mitigation measures to minimize indirect impacts to surface water and wetland resources, such as erosion and sedimentation control best management practices. Further, Basin Electric will require its contractor to secure a required stormwater permit for the project from the North Dakota Department of Health.
What impact will construction of the proposed transmission facility have on animal health and safety?
Any effects on wildlife will generally be minor and short-term. In most instances, suitable habitat adjacent to the disturbed areas would be available for wildlife species until grasses and woody vegetation would be reestablished. Basin Electric would replant disturbed areas with native species as recommended by the county NRCS. Holes that are drilled or excavated for pole placement or foundation construction and left unattended overnight would be marked and secured with temporary fencing to reduce the potential for wildlife entering the holes. Prior to surface disturbance activities, during the breeding season for migratory birds, which is approximately April 15th through July 31st, a qualified biologist will survey potentially suitable habitat, that is, land that is not cultivated, for nesting activity and other evidence of nesting. If active nests are located or other evidence of nesting is observed, appropriate protection measures, including the establishment of buffer areas, would be implemented until the young have fledged and dispersed from the nest area. These measures will be implemented on a site-specific and species-specific basis, in coordination with Western. Conductor to electrical ground and conductor to conductor distance for the proposed transmission line are approximately 8 and 20 feet, respectively. This spacing of conductors is sufficient to eliminate electrocution hazards to avian species. Construction activities may cause some temporary inconvenience to livestock grazing practices. However, these impacts would be minor and short-term.
What impact will the construction of the line have on plant life?
Impacts to plant life would be limited to the disturbed portions of the proposed transmission line right away. Approximately 65% of the land along the proposed route is cultivated. Construction within these areas would not affect native vegetation. Rangeland and grassland disturbed during construction activities would be reclaimed with agency-recommended seed mixes, restoring the vegetation and native habitat.
Does this conclude your direct testimony?
Yes.
Your Honor, that completes my direct examination of this witness.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobson. Ms. Bendish, do you have any questions?
Yes. Mr. Soli, we've talked about the unoccupied residence that's within 500 feet. Is that indicated on Exhibit 4?
Is that the... I believe it is. The there are, I guess, I need to get longer arms here. There are small icons for the the structures that are located along the line.
Any further questions, Ms. Bandish?
Do you know on which of the four maps of Exhibit 4 I can find that residence and which one it is?
It is on Map 4. And
is it right near where the line...
Right here where...
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Mr. Lean, do you have any questions?
No questions, thanks.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions? Mr. Kalt?
Just a general question. Make a lot of, guesses what we think is going to happen. Once the line is built, does someone go out like a biologist every 6 months, year, and just see what's happened, what you thought would happen, to what actually did happen?
We haven't been doing, biological post-construction monitoring for transmission line projects. We have commitments like that for the wind projects. We do the lands and right-of-way. People do conduct periodic inspections for noxious weeds, but there's no biologist that has been out to.
Okay. It's not required anymore. I just
no.
was curious if you people, I'm sure if they see something, they tell you and then you follow through.
Yes.
Thanks.
Commissioner Kramer?
Well, Your Honor, I might just want to make sure the record is really clear about that structure, that non-occupied and non-inhabited home, because he pointed to it and we all saw it, but I want to make sure the record is clear about where it is. So if could you describe it on map four?
Okay.
I believe it was where the
right, it
crosses Highway 2 from the south to the north. Because I sense that our counsel may be going somewhere with that particular piece of information. I just want to make sure we have a clean record on it. Is that fair, Counselor?
That is fair.
Okay.
Yes.
Section 7, Township. Okay.
Okay. 156-96. Okay. It's, yep. But it's right. Yeah, yep. Okay. That's
all right. It's
just north of Highway 2 in Section 7, Township 156 North, Range 95 West.
Thank you. I have nothing else.
Thank you. Any other questions from the Commission? I just have one question, Mr. Soli. On the maps, there's an area that says laydown areas. What is that?
A laydown area would be where the pieces and parts for the transmission line would be staged prior to their placement along the right-of-way.
Okay, so it's kind of a storage area.
Storage area, right.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Soli. Ms. Jacobson, please call your next witness.
Thank you, Your Honor. My next witness is Mr. Mark Nygaard.
Mr. Nygaard, would you please raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under pains and penalties of perjury? Speak up,
I do.
Please. Thank you. And we'll give you a moment to sign the sheet there. Thank you. Please proceed.
Mr. Nygaard, give us your name, business address, and your occupation.
My name is Mark Nygaard. I am employed by Basin Electric Power Cooperative, and my business address is 1717 East Interstate Avenue, Bismarck, North Dakota. I'm the manager of construction in the engineering and construction department.
Mr. Nygaard, would you please review your employment history?
I began at Basin Electric Power Cooperative in 1980 in the construction department at the Antelope Valley Station. Upon completion of construction, I became a planner and a supervisor in the maintenance department at AVS. In January of 2007, I assumed the duties of construction supervisor for the scrubber addition at the Leland Old Station. In 2008, I was named manager of construction for Basin's capital construction projects. Prior to joining Basin in 1980, I had 8 years construction management experience at various power generation projects in North Dakota, Virginia, and Colorado, both fossil fuel and nuclear. I have a total of 38 years in major power generation facility construction and maintenance.
Please state your educational background.
I'm a 1968 graduate of Williston High School. I received a 2-year technical degree in electrical design from Western Technical College in Denver, Colorado in 1970.
What is your responsibility in connection with the Williston to Tioga 230 kV transmission project?
My responsibility will be to provide supervision, along with the substation line construction supervisor, to the construction coordinators assigned to this project. The construction coordinators will coordinate owner contractor interests, administer project quality assurance, quality control requirements, and provide a focal point for communication between project personnel, construction and construction contractors, field supervisors.
What is the purpose of your testimony at this proceeding?
The purpose of my testimony is to provide an overview of the construction requirements.
Would you describe the construction procedures and workforces required for the construction of the proposed facilities?
The construction of the transmission line is done in a sequential manner, consisting of a series of small crews spread out over the length of the line. As one crew completes work in an area, the next crew enters and proceeds with the next construction activity. The construction activities for installation of a transmission line include structure staking, gate installation, foundation installation, structure hauling, framing and erection, conductor hauling, pulling, sagging, and clipping, right-of-way cleanup. The various crews indicate a need of approximately 68 to 80 workers. The actual manpower needs may vary from project to project depending on time constraints, contractor procedures, terrain, seasonal conditions, and other factors. After construction is complete, Basin Electric will complete a final inspection of the right-of-way, identifying items which require corrective action. When corrections have been verified, the contractor will be released from further responsibility. The right-of-way division will then address the reclamation work as the disturbed construction areas require. A contractor specializing in right-of-way reclamation will be obtained to break up compacted areas, fill in ruts, and seed grasses in order to return the area to its original condition.
What housing provisions are required for this type of workforce?
Since construction will involve a sequence of activities performed by rather small crews spread out over the length of the line, most workers usually stay in hotels or motels near their work location along the line. A few workers may bring travel trailers and place them in trailer parks in towns along the route where these facilities are available.
Do you plan to carry out construction on the transmission line during wet weather?
Crews will generally shut down to allow the right-of-way to dry to the extent that will allow construction travel with minimum rutting. The construction contract will contain language to control and limit contractors' activities whenever the right-of-way is likely to be damaged.
Will gates be closed in a satisfactory manner?
When crossing existing fences, Basin Electric will install barbed wire gap gates with a 16-foot opening. Gates will be locked if required by property owners and or tenants.
How is the clearing of trees on the easement area carried out?
Stumps will be finished off with a level cut at an elevation not more than 3 inches above the ground. If requested by the landowner, usable trees will be cut to length and delivered to the landowner for his use. Material not wanted by the landowner will be disposed of at an approved disposal area.
What is done with the spoil from any excavation which is required during construction of the facilities?
The spoils from all foundations will be spread at the structure site if approved by the landowner. Otherwise, it will be removed from the right-of-way.
Does this complete your direct testimony?
Yes.
Your Honor, this completes my direct examination of Mr. Nygaard.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobson. Ms. Bendish, any questions?
No questions, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Lean?
No questions.
Any questions from the commissioners?
I have none. I have a couple.
Commissioner Kalk.
Thank you for your testimony. What makes a contractor specialized? You said in your testimony a specialized contractor. How did what gives them that denotation, if you will?
The installation of poles, having the equipment to erect 100-foot poles requires a certain type of equipment that those people
must
be trained in.
There's no special certificate that says they're a specialized. It's just experience in the field.
Right. Installation of the of the conductor and the proper sagging is all comes from experience. Correct.
And then I guess the follow-up to the question I asked before about the you know, you've got union, non-union subcontractors. How far can you go down to make sure their workforce is supposed to be working in North Dakota?
All of our construction contracts require have the requirement for the contractor to ensure that everybody is legally required to work in this country. And that requirement goes directly to their subcontractors as well, and they are required to enforce that.
So just for sake of discussion, so you know, the things playing out in the media in different parts of the state, how does that, you know, potentially, not talking about that case, but just in general, how would that follow out if it was deemed that a subcontractor had somebody that wasn't supposed to be working, and how does that play back out?
We go directly to the prime contractor who we have a contractual agreement with, and we make sure that they are fulfilling the terms and conditions of their contract.
And if they're not, then?
Then they're asked to mitigate and or change the contractor.
And then will they be allowed to bid on future projects if they have not cleaned up their act, if you will? Or how do you, a violation at one job, what does that do to the next job?
We have an evaluation process within Basin Electric that evaluates all contractors on their performance. And we track that very close and performance based on these types of issues as well as safety and quality.
Because just, you know, once again, just general thoughts that, you know, we get around the state a lot, and everybody's excited there's work taking place in North Dakota, but it needs to be work done by people that are from here. So anything we can do to help that would be greatly appreciated.
And we watch that very close.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Nygaard?
No, just thank you.
Thank you. You're excused. All right, Ms. Jacobson, I believe you have one more witness.
Yes, Judge Fetch, this witness will take a few moments to set up the electronic display here.
All right. In the meantime, Mr. Murray, why don't you sign the sign-in sheet?
You mean like if there was a violation or something like that? Mm-hmm.
We got a civil suit problem, but then, is anybody directed
to contract? Yes, actually, I think though if there's deemed
an
immigration violation, I'm the U.S. Attorney would, because didn't we prosecute that situation in Fargo, in West Fargo?
This guy's got plea bargain on the deal.
Well, yeah,
but yeah, okay, good point.
I think that's right. If it's an immigration issue,
but then to be qualified list in bidders.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's the problem.
Right.
That's the point, yeah. Oh, gosh.
Do you need to have the lights lowered a little bit?
If this side is lowered, that won't impact you too much.
Mm-hmm. Anyone know where those are? Oh.
They're everywhere. Oh, my.
How's that?
Ooh,
it'll
brilliant.
Make the screen easier to see.
That's
all right. Are we ready to proceed?
You ready, Bill? Yep.
Mr. Murray, please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under the pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Ms. Jacobson, go ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Murray, what is your name, business address, and your occupation?
My name is Mike Murray. My business address is 1717 East Interstate Avenue, Bismarck, North Dakota. I am the property and right-of-way supervisor for Basin Electric Power Cooperative.
And what is your educational background and work experience?
I received an associate's degree in business administration from Bismarck State College. I've worked for Basin Electric since 1990 and as a right-of-way agent on numerous high-voltage transmission lines since 2000. I have over 200 hours of continuing education in the field of property and right-of-way through the International Right-of-Way Association.
Are you a member of any professional associations?
I am a member of the International Right-of-Way Association, and I have served as the president of the Dakotas chapter of the International Right-of-Way Association from 2007 to 2008. I received my senior right-of-way agent, SRWA, designation in 2007, which is the highest designation achievable in our field through coursework and testing.
What is your role in connection with the Williston to Tioga project?
I am the property and right-of-way supervisor for Basin Electric. The property and right-of-way coordinator assigned to this project reports directly to me. I review all documented routing issues with our project manager, who is also the routing engineer, and our property and right-of-way coordinator. I review all documented negotiation issues and give direction in an attempt for voluntary signing of easements. I also oversee the reclamation of the right-of-way after completion of construction.
Would you please summarize the extent of the contacts that have been made by Basin Electric's right-of-way team with the landowners on the proposed route?
We have made an attempt to contact each and every landowner along the route in person. Some landowners had to be contacted by phone or letter. Many have been contacted several times for a variety of reasons, including the following. One, to discuss the project with them and receive survey permissions. Two, to review the route and discuss any issues that they may have. Three, working out adjustments in routing where feasible. Four, to negotiate the easement, which may take several visits. And five, to keep the landowner apprised of any changes in location or design of the line. We make several attempts to visit with the landowner in person. If this fails, we will attempt to contact them by phone. If we are not successful in reaching a landowner in person or by phone, we send a certified letter or FedEx letter so they have all the information.
How many total landowners are crossed with the proposed line, and what percentage of the easements have you acquired?
We have 102 landowners along this proposed line, and we have signed with 92 of those, or 90.20%.
Mr. Murray, I show you what has been marked as Exhibit 6. Could you please identify it?
Yes, this is a series of three maps depicting the proposed route with angle points.
Your Honor, I'd move for admission of Exhibit 6.
Any objection?
No objection.
Thank you. Exhibit 6 is admitted.
Thank you. Mr. Murray, I show you what has been marked as Exhibit 7. Could you please identify it?
It is a CD. The route map showing electronically right now on the screen, on the computer screen, can be found on this CD.
And, Your Honor, I would move for Exhibit 7.
Thank you. Exhibit 7 is admitted.
Mr. Murray, would you please describe the considerations Basin Electric used to determine each segment of the proposed route?
Many considerations were taken into account in the routing of this line, including PSC criteria, topographic features, farmsteads, land uses, engineering constraints, archaeological finds, access issues, and landowner concerns were all a part of the process. Where feasible, many reroutes took place along this line to minimize landowner concerns.
Mr. Murray, please describe the proposed transmission route.
Segment 1 is from the Wapa substation to Angle Point 9. This segment is approximately 6.4 miles in length. The Wapa substation, located in the southwest quarter of Section 19, Township 154 North, Range 101 West, Williams County, North Dakota. From Angle Point 1, which is located in the southwest quarter of Section 19, Township 154 North, Range 101 West, the line diagonals approximately 1 mile to Angle Point 2, which is located in the northeast quarter of Section 19, Township 154 North, Range 101 West. This portion is on a diagonal due to existing electrical distribution lines and to align the proposed line along the section line. The route proceeds north parallel to the section line for 0.9 mile to angle 0.3, which is located in the northeast quarter of section 18, township 154 north, range 101 west. The line diagonals to the northwest approximately 0.3 mile to angle 0.4, also located in the northeast quarter of section 18, township 154 north, range 101 west. The line proceeds north for 0.4 mile to angle 0.5, located in the southeast quarter of section 7, township 154 north, range 101 west, and then diagonals northeast 0.4 mile to angle 0.6, located in the southwest quarter of section 8, township 154 north, range 101 west. This bump out was done at the request of the landowner who is building a new home in the southeast quarter of the southeast quarter of section 7. From this point, the line continues north for 2.3 miles to angle 0.7, located in the northwest quarter of section 32, township 155 north, range 101 west. The line then diagonals northwest for approximately 0.1 mile to angle 0.8, which is located in the northeast quarter of section 31, township 155 north, range 101 west. This diagonal was necessary to avoid cropland in the west half of section 29, township 155 north, range 101 west. The line proceeds north for 1 mile to angle 0.9, which is located in the southeast quarter of section 19, township 155 north, range 101 west. Segment 2 is angle 0.9 to angle 0.17. This segment is approximately 7.4 miles in length. After conversations with several landowners, part of this segment was rerouted to avoid existing and planned homes, recently planted shelter belts, and a private landing strip. From angle 0.9, the line turns east for 0.25 mile to angle 0.9A, which is located in the southwest quarter of section 20, township 155 north, range 101 west, to accommodate the different road right-of-way widths. The route continues east for 1.75 miles to angle 0.10, which is located in the southwest quarter of section 22, township 155 north, range 101 west. The route turns north for 1 mile to angle 0.11, which is located in the northwest quarter of section 22, township 155 north, range 101 west. The line diagonals to the northwest for approximately 0.1 mile to angle 0.12, which is located in the southeast quarter of section 16, township 155 north, range 101 west. This diagonal is necessary to avoid cropland in the southwest quarter of section 15, township 155 north, range 101 west, to minimize impact to a home, and to cross County Road 8. From angle 0.12, the route continues north for 1 mile to angle 0.13, which is located in the southeast quarter of section 9, township 155 north, range 101 west. The line turns east for 1.2 miles to angle 0.14, located in the southwest quarter of section 11, township 155 north, range 101 west. At angle 0.14, the route turns north for 1 mile to angle 0.15, located in the northwest quarter of section 11, township 155 north, range 101 west, to accommodate a landowner's request for planting a shelter belt. The line then turns on a northeasterly diagonal for 0.75 mile to angle 0.16, which is located in the northeast quarter of section 2, township 155 north, range 101 west. This diagonal is needed to avoid gas pipelines in the southeast quarter of section 2, a new home and shop which were built in the northwest quarter of section 2. The line continues north for 0.3 mile to angle 0.17, located in the northeast quarter of section 2, township 155 north, range 101 west. Segment 3 is angle 0.17 to angle 0.24. This segment is approximately 8.5 miles in length. From angle 0.17, the line goes northeast at a diagonal for 0.5 mile to angle 0.18, located in the southwest quarter of section 36, township 156 north, range 101 west. This diagonal is needed to cross state highways 2 and 85 and to route around a rural schoolhouse in the southwest quarter of section 36, township 156 north, range 101 west, and two gas pipelines running parallel along the north side of County Road 8 from sections 36 to 33, Township 156 North, Range 100 West. From angle point 18, the line goes slightly northeast for approximately 0.1 mile to angle point 18A, located in the southwest quarter of section 36, Township 156 North, Range 101 West. This diagonal is needed to avoid an archaeological site. The line then heads east for 1.75 miles to angle point 19, located in the southeast quarter of section 31, Township 156 North, Range 100 West. From angle point 19, the line slightly diagonals northeast for approximately 0.2 mile to angle point 20, located in the southwest quarter of section 32, Township 156 North, Range 100 West. This diagonal is needed to reposition alignment on the property line. The line continues east for 1.8 miles to angle point 21, located in the southeast quarter of section 33, Township 156 North, Range 100 West. The line turns slightly northeast at a diagonal for 0.1 mile to angle point 22, located in the southeast quarter of section 33, Township 156 North, Range 100 West. This portion runs diagonally to avoid an archaeological site in the southeast quarter of the southeast quarter of section 33, Township 156 North, Range 100 West. From angle point 22, the line turns north for 3.5 miles to angle point 23, located in the northeast quarter of section 16, Township 156 North, Range 100 West. The line diagonals in a northeasterly direction for 0.25 mile to angle point 24, located in the northwest quarter of section 15, Township 156 North, Range 100 West. This diagonal is necessary to avoid an archaeological site in the northeast quarter of the northeast quarter of section 16, Township 156 North, Range 100 West. Segment 4 is from angle point 24 to angle point 31. This segment is approximately 17.1 miles in length. The line turns east at angle point 24 and continues for 13.25 miles to angle point 25, located in the northwest quarter of section 14, Township 156 North, Range 98 West. This segment runs parallel on the south side of North Dakota Department of Transportation State Highway 2 right-of-way to minimize impact to cropland, to avoid a gravel pit operation in the southwest quarter of section 11, Township 156 North, Range 100 West, and to avoid existing homes in the southwest quarter of section 9, Township 156 North, Range 99 West, the southwest quarter of section 10, Township 156 North, Range 99 West, the southwest quarter of section 7, Township 156 North, Range 98 West, the southeast quarter of section 9, Township 156 North, Range 98 West, and the southwest quarter of section 11, Township 156 North, Range 98 West. The line turns slightly southeast for approximately 0.1 mile to angle point 25A, located in the north half of section 14, Township 156 North, Range 98 West. This diagonal is needed to avoid an obstruction with an existing approach. The line turns south for 0.5 mile to angle point 26, located on the quarter line of section 14, Township 156 North, Range 98 West. The line then turns east for 1.5 miles to angle point 27, located on the quarter line of section 18, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. The line takes a slight southeasterly diagonal for about 0.12 mile to angle point 28 in the southwest quarter of section 18, Township 156 North, Range 97 West, to avoid a stream on the north side of the quarter line. The line heads in a slight northeasterly direction for 0.12 mile to angle point 29 to realign on the quarter mile line of section 18, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. This realignment to the quarter line also avoids crossing over a family cemetery in the northwest quarter of the southwest quarter of section 17, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. The line then heads east for 1.6 miles to angle point 30, located on the quarter line of section 17, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. The line diagonals in a southeasterly direction for 0.1 mile to angle point 31, located in the southwest quarter of section 16, Township 156 North, Range 97 West, to avoid an archaeological site and wetland area in the southeast quarter of the northeast quarter of Section 16, Township 156 North, Range 97 West, and an existing road on the quarter line. Segment 5 will be from angle point 31 to angle point 38. This segment is approximately 1.5 miles in length and is designed to get around the city of Ray. From angle point 31, the line heads in a northwesterly direction for 0.2 mile to angle point 32, located in the southwest quarter of section 16, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. The line continues east for 0.2 mile to angle point 33, also located in the southwest quarter of section 16, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. Here the line turns diagonally in a northeasterly direction for 0.1 mile to angle point 34, located in the northeast quarter of section 16, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. This diagonal is necessary to avoid cropland in the southeast quarter of section 16, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. From this point, the line heads east for 0.5 mile to angle point 35, located in the northeast quarter of section 16, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. The line turns north for 0.5 mile to angle point 36, located in the northeast quarter of section 16, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. From angle point 36, the line slightly diagonals to the northeast for approximately 0.1 mile to angle point 37, located on the north-south section line between sections 9 and 10, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. This diagonal is needed to cross State Highway 2. From angle point 37, the line runs north for approximately 0.25 mile to angle point 38, located on the north-south section line between section 9 and 10, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. Segment 6 is from angle point 38 to angle point 45. This segment is approximately 14.7 miles in length. From angle point 38, the line turns east for 0.8 mile to angle point 39, located in the southeast quarter of section 10, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. At angle point 39, the line turns north for 0.3 mile to angle point 40, which is located along the quarter line of section 10, Township 156 North, Range 97 West. From angle point 40, the line turns east and runs for 8.6 miles along the quarter line to angle point 41 in the west half of section 7, Township 156 North, Range 95 West. The line then heads in a southeast diagonal for 0.7 mile to angle point 42, located in the northeast quarter of section 18, Township 156 North, Range 95 West. This diagonal is necessary to 1. Avoid commercial operations in the southeast quarter of the southeast quarter of Section 7, Township 156 North, Range 95 West, and in the southwest quarter of the southwest quarter of Section 8, Township 156 North, Range 95 West. 2. To avoid existing homes in the southeast quarter of Section 8, Township 156 North, Range 95 West, in the southeast quarter of Section 9, Township 156 North, Range 95 West, and in the southeast quarter of section 10, Township 156 North, Range 95 West, and 3 to cross State Highway 2. The line turns east and runs parallel to State Highway 2 for 3.8 miles to angle point 43, located in the northeast quarter of section 14, Township 156 North, Range 95 West. The line then diagonals to the northeast for 0.1 mile to angle point 44, located in the southeast quarter of section 11, Township 156 North, Range 95 West. This diagonal is necessary to avoid a home in the northeast quarter of Section 14, Township 156 North, Range 95 West, and to cross over to the north side of State Highway 2. From angle point 44, the line runs east parallel to State Highway 2 for 0.3 mile to angle point 44A, located in the southeast quarter of Section 11, Township 156 North, Range 95 West. The line runs for approximately 0.1 mile to angle point 45, which is located in the southwest quarter of section 12, Township 156 North, Range 95 West. This diagonal is needed to avoid a wastewater treatment plant and an REC distribution line. Segment 7 is from angle point 45 to angle point 53, also known as MDU's Tioga Substation. This segment is approximately 5.4 miles in length. From angle point 45, the line turns north for approximately 3.3 mile to angle point 45A, located in the southwest quarter of section 12, township 156 north, range 95 west. From angle point 45A, the line diagonals slightly to the northwest for approximately 0.4 mile to angle point 45B, located in the northwest quarter of section 12, township 156 north, range 95 west. This diagonal was requested by the landowner to accommodate his farming equipment and operations. The line continues north for approximately 0.15 mile to angle point 46, located in the northwest quarter of section 12, township 156 north, range 95 west. The line then continues northwest for 1.9 miles to angle point 47, located in the southeast quarter of section 31, township 157 north, range 94 west. This diagonal was necessary to avoid oil well development in section 2, township 156 north, range 95 west. From angle point 47, the line runs slightly northwest for 1.1 miles to angle point 48, located in the southeast quarter of section 30, township 157 north, range 94 west. This diagonal is needed to avoid cropland in the east half of the southeast quarter of section 31, township 157 north, range 94 west, and a home in the east half of the northeast quarter of section 31, township 157 north, range 94 west. The line turns in a slight diagonal to the northwest for 0.3 mile to angle point 49, located in the northwest quarter of section 30, township 157 north, range 94 west. This diagonal is necessary to cross Burlington Northern Railroad tracks and to avoid an archaeological site in the southwest quarter of section 30, township 157 north, range 94 west. From angle point 49, the line goes north for 0.4 mile to angle point 50, also located in the northwest quarter of section 30, township 157 north, range 94 west. The line turns in a slight northeasterly direction for 0.1 mile to angle point 51 in order to cross County Highway 10. From angle point 51, the line turns east and runs for 0.5 mile parallel to County Highway 10 to angle point 52, located in the southwest quarter of section 20, township 157 north, range 94 west. The line then turns north for 0.4 mile to angle point 53, also located in the southwest quarter of section 20, township 157 north, range 94 west, terminating at MDU's Tioga substation.
Mr. Murray, what is the role of the right-of-way division in reclaiming the easement area at the completion of construction?
The right-of-way division will oversee the entire reclamation process. The reclamation contractor will report directly to our right-of-way office in Williston, North Dakota. Right-of-way agents will be on site on a regular basis to monitor progress and make sure reclamation is completed to the landowners and Basin Electric's satisfaction.
Mr. Murray, can you please explain Basin Electric's reclamation practices for transmission lines?
The construction contractor will be responsible for regrading the easement back to original contour. Basin Electric will then bring on a local reclamation contractor who specializes in the reclamation techniques required to reestablish the growth or cover of all the disturbed areas of the project. In cropland, compaction will be addressed and the damage to any crops due to construction activity. In pastureland, our reclamation contractor will reseed the native grasses that were present prior to construction. In CRP fields, we will replant the cover based on FSA rules and guidance. All damages associated with our activities will be addressed with the landowner for settlement at completion of construction. Basin Electric will be responsible for weeds by providing weed control within the easement area for 3 consecutive years after construction.
Does this conclude your direct testimony?
Yes.
Your Honor, that completes the direct examination of Mr. Murray.
Thank you. Could we have the lights back? Thanks. Ms. Bendish, any questions?
No questions.
Mr. Lean?
No questions.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions? Commissioner Clark?
Maybe just a little. I noted that there were 90% of the easements were done or something like that. Mm-hmm. Of the ones that are outstanding, are you able to categorize, generally speaking, the reasons for that? Is it a little bit of everything, or does it tend to be Just
compensation is the majority of it. The other issue is a shorter term on the easement, and just don't want the line, period.
Okay.
That'd be the three main ones.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Other commissioners?
No, that was thorough.
a couple of questions.
Commissioner Kalk.
Okay.
I ask a lot of background questions because I'm the newest guy here in the commission. The how much per mile, again, for construction, just a rough, how much does it cost to build a mile of this stuff?
That Dewey Martha, our project manager, would have to answer that for you. I deal strictly with the landowners and not the construction aspect of it. So.
Well, we'll talk offline, I guess. Follow-up to Tony's questions, was there any area that was localized to those 10 people that wouldn't sign the easement? I mean, are they just all over the place, or is there in one area where one person talks to the next person who talks to the next person? And
Majority of it is generally north, immediately north and northeast of Williston.
Okay. And then can you show me the spot about the abandoned home that we've talked about, where that's at on this map? Can you walk back to that spot just to get a feel for it on the bigger picture? And also, too, thank you for your testimony. The questions tend to be critical in nature, but you guys have done a great job preparing it. I do appreciate the work.
And I would like to offer, too, that abandoned home, we did talk to the homeowner, the landowner,
right,
to let him know where we were proposing this line, and he had no issues. So
okay.
Just to let you know that.
And that's it right there?
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Murray.
You're welcome.
Ms. Jacobson?
We have no further witnesses.
Thank you. At this time, then, I'm going to ask from members of the public. Again, this is your opportunity to let the commissioners hear your testimony, let them know what questions, concerns, wishes that you have. First, I ask that proponents come to the podium here and testify. I believe two people raised their hands. One of you. And could we have that blue sign-up sheet up there for them? Please sign the sign-in sheet, and then please state your name, address, and who you represent. Please state and spell your name.
My name is Dale Haugen, D-A-L-E, Haugen, H-A-U-G-E-N.
And address?
My business address is P.O. Box 1346, Williston, North Dakota.
And who do you represent?
I represent Montrell Williams Electric Cooperative.
Thank you. Would you please raise your right hand? Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Your Honor, Commissioners, and Council, thank you. Again, I am providing testimony on behalf of Montrell Williams Electric Cooperative in support of Basin Electric building of the 230 transmission line from Williston to Tioga. Montrell Williams Electric's loads have increased dramatically the last 3 years. Gaining an average of 17.4%, and with year 2009 keeping the same trend. The Bakken and Three Forks oil shale formations lie within our Montrell and Williams County service area. This oil production, of course, as you know, requires electricity for the oil pumpers, for the gas lines and oil pipelines, secondary recovery, a lot of support industries, and of course, new homes for the additional workers. This accounts for a lot of the significant growth of that 17%. Montreal Williams developed a load forecast of our energy and demand for a period of 2008 to 2023. And we did this in accordance with the Rural Utility Service, or the RUS, guidelines. And this ended up being a real judgmental forecast. By that I mean the trends and future expectations were really reflected from the experience of my board and the knowledge we of employees have of the cooperative in our service area with this trend in the oil industry. Montreal Williams's load is going to grow from the 2008 peak of 7.9 megawatts to a projected 178.9 megawatts in that 2023. This is 1.3 times more load in the next 15 years, averaging almost 8.8% load growth per year. So in short and in conclusion, yes, Montreal Williams needs a real reliable transmission infrastructure in northwest North Dakota in order to achieve both our business objectives and the cooperatives. And again, to support this, the cooperative really believes that this current proposal is appropriate, and especially as Montreal Williams in the future develops its smart grid technology. Thank you.
Thank you. And at this time, Ms. Bendish, any questions? Or Mr. Lean?
No questions.
Ms. Jacobson?
None, thank you.
Any questions from the commissioners?
None, but thank you for the testimony.
I would have one, Dale.
Commissioner Craig.
Is it adequate?
It's adequate.
All right. Thank you for your testimony.
We use Esri Millsoft.
I'm sorry I didn't ask.
Thank you.
Do you know what that is, Jerry, that he just said?
Thank you. For the record, please state and spell your name.
I am Robert N. Grant, R-O-B-E-R-T, N-G-R-A-N-T.
And from where and who do you represent?
My address is 6050 Old Highway 2, Berthold, North Dakota. I represent Montreal Williams Electric Board of Directors. I serve as the Vice President.
Thank you. Currently. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give shall be the truth under pains and penalties of perjury?
I do.
Thank you.
As stated, I'm currently the Vice President of Montreal Williams Electric. I'm here to testify on behalf of the line from, Basin's line from Williston here to Tioga. I've been elected to the Board of Directors back in 1981. The Board of Directors is directly responsible to our membership. It's our duty and responsibility to maintain, upgrade, maintain quality and reliability of the system while giving good service at an affordable cost. That's our basic mission. I've witnessed a lot of changes over the years. Montreal Williams, Montreal Electric Cooperative and Williams Electric Cooperative merged so that we could be more efficient, have a stronger, more diversified business that has enabled us to continue to grow, add new technologies along the way, and meet the changing needs of our customers and our members. If you've driven around Montreal and Williams counties, you've witnessed the growth. New businesses have started in the area with jobs available for almost any skill level. Just look at the classified section of any paper. To increase the flow of oil out of the area, Enbridge has increased capacity and storage and pumping capability at the Trenton station. They've added 9 pumping stations along the line to Clearbrook, Minnesota. They've upgraded those stations this year with even bigger motors. Temporary or portable train loading facilities are dotted around the area. EOG is in the process of constructing a unit train loading facility near Stanley that will be able to load just over 100 cars per day in 16 hours. That's every day. Their plan is to do that, like I said, every day. You'll see As you drive around, you can see what Montreal Williams has done by looking at the new poles, the wires, the substations. You start looking what the oil-related companies have done, and you'll see well sites, gas plants, compressor stations, pipelines, buildings, new facilities in the towns around. Both Implement Dealers and Stanley have new facilities. New headquarters building for EOG and Stanley. New homes, apartments, businesses that are busy, and other infrastructure upgrades in Stanley. Expansion of the Tioga Hess gas plant and new headquarters building at Tioga are two of the visible sites in that area. Farmsteads that have been unused for years now have people living in old houses or have trailers parked on them. Buildings in Williston that were left vacant after the oil downturn in the early 80s are now occupied, with other new ones being built. I could say the same things are happening in the city's communities of Plaza, Partial, Newtown, Palermo, Ray. It's the same situation. The economic growth in this area is very hard to believe, especially if you realize it's all taken place in spring of 2007. 2.5 years. I personally didn't think that it could happen this fast. With all the investment in the infrastructure, I can see no sign of this being a short-lived phenomenon. We need the reliability of the new line from Williston to Tioga. Our board supports that very strongly. If we are to continue to meet our membership needs, it is essential. In order to meet the long-range plans of our cooperative, we need the infrastructure and backbone to do it. This line is a huge piece for further development and growth in the region, not just Montreal and Williams counties. My neighbors and friends ask me if we, meaning Montreal Williams Electric, will be able to continue the quality of service and the reliability they've been used to in the past. I guess my answer has always been, if Wappan Basin are able to upgrade their service to us, we'll be able to pass that on. It's a partnership that has always been good for everyone. Strong infrastructure and reliability in the area will have the ability to attract all kinds of businesses to the area. We'll be able to install the latest technologies available. It's a very positive situation for us all. Thank you.
Thank you. Just a moment. Any questions, Ms. Bendish?
No questions.
Mr. Lean?
No.
Ms. Jacobson?
I have none, thank you.
Commissioners have any questions?
Yes.
Commissioner Clark.
Quickly, Robert, what, from a ratepayer impact, how, can you talk a little bit about, as you sit on the board, what does adding this new load mean as far as the existing customers? Has it been a net benefit? Does it cause concern maybe for having to bring on new resources? Just from having this tremendous new load coming on and spreading the base out further, what's it meant from the utilities profile?
I guess you can start from probably the fall of late summer, early fall of 2006 when we were first approached by Hess Corporation and showed us their plans for expansion. That meeting was lasted 3 to 4 more hours with that person on what they had requested from us. And kind of as a board, we looked at each other and said, wow, this is never going to happen. Then came the questions, is this going to be a boom and bust? Is it really going to happen or can't it? How are we going to ever finance it? What's it going to do to our ratepayers? Should we just wash our hands and walk away? And for the next two meetings, I guess there was a lot of talk, a lot of questions, a lot of things that were answered through visits with the other oil companies, looking at our situation, realizing that our plant is over 50 years old, most of it, that with most of the cooperatives operate on a situation where the cost causer is the cost payer. So looking at the opportunity that we would be able to rebuild a line, rebuild especially Montreal County and work our way into Williams County with the help of dollars from the oil companies or whoever comes into the area and builds, that we would have the opportunity to save our ratepayers money in the future. A lot of the basic costs get spread directly to the person that's involved, and then some is spread to all of them. At this point in time, we've been able to keep our rates affordable. We have had a slight rate increase this last year, but most of that was really because of the cost of the dam power having to go up and paying those extra charges, and just the general cost of everything else going up. We really haven't seen an impact to the ratepayer as of this. We feel in the long run, with the dollars that are coming in from all the new businesses, all the new activity, it will keep us pretty whole throughout the whole thing.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grant. Does anyone else wish to testify in support or as a proponent for this matter? All right, thank you. And I'll ask, does anyone wish to testify in opposition to this request? No more testimony? All right, thank you very much. Appreciate your attention and your participation or your attendance today. Council, is there anything else before we proceed to close this matter?
I have nothing.
Council, it's my understanding that the commission will want the applicant to submit proposed findings of fact and conclusions of law and a proposed order for consideration of the commission. I'm going to ask at this time, Council, if the parties want to make oral closing arguments or submit written briefs.
I have nothing, neither in oral closing or written brief.
And I don't
either.
Make this easy for you.
All right. Does the commission want to set a time by which the applicant needs to submit its proposed findings? And
the ball's in their court, yeah. So whenever they want to. I assume they will have them fairly quickly.
I think so.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Then at this time, I'm going to call on the commissioners for closing comments. And beginning with the commission chairman, Kevin Kramer.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, everyone who's in attendance today, and a special thank you to Basin Electric for a very thorough and complete and detailed application and case that makes our work a lot easier. It is why we have no hesitation about the lack of an oral conclusion or briefs, Counselor. I think we have good information. Look forward to the proposed order. Also, thank you again for your hospitality. It's, you know, we go a lot of places, and one of the great blessings of being us is that we get to go a lot of places in North Dakota. The legislature a long time ago set the policy of requiring